Welcome to the Narrowcast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and we've got a packed show today, looking at some fascinating shifts in the AI and space sectors.
That's right. We're starting with a very specific, heavily documented regression in Anthropic's Opus 4.7 model. A lot of developers have been feeling like the model got lazier over the weekend, and now we actually have the instrumented data to prove it.
It's a classic case of model vibes meeting hard metrics. After that, we're going to pivot to a really interesting philosophy on AI-assisted programming. We spent time last week talking about AI psychosis and the dangers of moving too fast. Today, we're looking at a framework for using AI to write code deliberately slower.
And to cap off our deep dives, there are some very credible rumors swirling that Starlink is about to drop a battery-powered mini model. A true backpack-sized satellite internet terminal that could completely change off-grid connectivity.
It's a great lineup. Let's get right into the Opus 4.7 situation. So there is a fascinating issue open on the Claude Code GitHub repository right now. The title says it all. Opus 4.7 tool use compliance cliff between 24th to 26th May. Instrumented evidence. This isn't just someone complaining that the AI feels worse today. This is a developer who has brought receipts.
And the receipts are pretty damning. The user has a Claude Code plugin that provides process definitions, which they call skills, managed through a skill.md file. They have an autonomous loop skill that explicitly tells the agent to invoke other per-task agents, things for test-driven development, research, and code review. Before May 24th, this setup was working beautifully.
Right. The numbers they cite are incredibly specific. Prior to the 24th, these agents were invoking between 9 and 24 skills per session and spinning up 11 to 20 sub-agents. It was functioning exactly as an autonomous coding loop should. But starting on May 26th, using the exact same setup and the exact same prompts, the model's behavior fell off a cliff.
The drop is staggering. On the 26th, the agent invoked just 2 skills and 0 to 4 subagents. It's essentially ignoring its own architecture. The bug report notes that the agent reads the skill.md file, sees the explicit instruction that says, for each task, invoke crackon-test-driven development, and then it just doesn't do it. It bypasses the tool invocation entirely and just starts writing code.
This highlights a massive underlying problem with building production systems on top of LLMs. When you have a traditional software dependency, if the maintainer pushes a breaking change, you can pin to an older version. But with these frontier models, there are often silent, under-the-hood updates for safety, alignment, or optimization that fundamentally alter the model's behavior without warning.
Exactly. Anthropic hasn't officially announced a new iteration of Opus 4.7 between the 24th and the 26th, but these compliance cliffs usually point to one of two things. Either there was a minor weights update deployed to production to patch a vulnerability, which inadvertently degraded instruction following for complex tool chains, or they tweaked the system prompt or sampling parameters at the API layer.
It's the classic laziness regression. We saw this with GPT-4 late last year, where the model would suddenly start giving users placeholders like insert the rest of your code here instead of doing the work. But this Opus 4.7 issue is slightly different. It's not just being lazy. It's actively ignoring a direct command to use a specific tool, the test-driven development skill, and opting to just guess the code zero shot.
Which is exactly what you don't want an autonomous agent doing. The whole point of the skill.md file and the subagents is to force the LLM to verify its work, to write the tests first, to do the research. When it skips those steps, the quality of the output plummets. It's a stark reminder that we are still in the early days of agentic workflows. You can build the most robust scaffolding in the world, but if the underlying model decides to ignore its tools, the whole system breaks down.
I'm very curious to see how Anthropic responds to this issue. Having instrumented evidence like this is rare. Usually users just say, the model feels dumber today. Being able to say, it went from 24 tool invocations down to 2 on this exact date, gives the engineering team a precise window to investigate what went wrong.
Our next story pairs perfectly with that Opus 4.7 regression. It's a piece by Nolan Lawson titled "Using AI to Write Better Code More Slowly," and it really pushes back against the prevailing narrative that the primary value of AI coding assistance is raw speed.
It's a necessary counterweight to the AI psychosis we discussed a week and a half ago. The industry is currently obsessed with benchmarks like how fast an agent can resolve a GitHub issue, or how many lines of boilerplate a copilot can generate per minute. Lawson's argument is that this speed often comes at the expense of deep architectural understanding and long-term maintainability.
Right. If your AI agent is just blindly skipping its test-driven development steps, like we just saw with Opus 4.7, and dumping 500 lines of code into your editor, you might feel like you're moving fast. But you've actually just offloaded the cognitive work of writing the code into the much harder cognitive work of reviewing someone else's undocumented code.
Lawson advocates for using LLMs not as a magical code generation machine, but as an interactive sounding board. You use the AI to slow yourself down. You explain your architecture to it. You ask it to poke holes in your logic. You have it generate edge cases that you might not have considered. In this workflow, the AI isn't writing the code for you. It's forcing you to think more rigorously about the code you are about to write.
It's treating the LLM like a senior engineer who is pair programming with you, rather than a junior developer who is just trying to close tickets as fast as possible. When you ask an LLM, "Here is my proposed data model. What are the cascading failure modes if the database goes down?" you are intentionally slowing down the implementation phase to speed up the stabilization phase.
And that is where the real leverage is. Writing the actual syntax is rarely the bottleneck in software engineering. The bottleneck is deciding what to build, ensuring it fits into the existing system, and making sure it doesn't break when user traffic spikes. If you use AI to just generate code faster, you're just accelerating the rate at which you accumulate technical debt.
It's a paradigm shift. We've spent the last 2 years treating these models as extremely advanced autocomplete engines. But as models get better at reasoning, even with the occasional compliance cliff, their highest and best use is as a conversational partner that forces you to justify your technical decisions. It's a slower process up front, but it pays massive dividends when you don't have to rewrite the entire module 3 months later.
I think we're going to see a split in the tooling market. You'll have the hyper-fast, autonomous agents that just try to brute force solutions, and you'll have these slower, more deliberative thought partner interfaces designed specifically to make you a more thoughtful programmer. Lawson's piece makes a very compelling case for the latter.
Let's shift gears from software to hardware. There's a very interesting report out from Stuff.tv suggesting that SpaceX is preparing to launch a battery-powered version of the Starlink Mini. This is a huge deal for the portable connectivity market. We already have the standard Starlink dishes, which are great for residential use, and they recently introduced a smaller form factor. But the limiting factor has always been power. A phased array antenna tracking low Earth orbit satellites requires a non-trivial amount of juice, usually somewhere in the 50 to 75 watt range.
Exactly. If you wanted to take a Starlink off-grid, you had to bring a portable power station or a generator. If this rumor is true, and they've managed to integrate a battery directly into a mini model, it completely changes the use case. We're talking about an all-in-one terminal that you can pull out of a backpack, set on the ground, and instantly have high-speed broadband anywhere on Earth.
The engineering required to pull this off is significant. You have to balance the thermal management of the antenna with the thermal constraints of a lithium-ion battery pack, all while keeping it light enough to actually be portable. It suggests that SpaceX has made some serious efficiency gains in their silicon, allowing the phased array to operate at a much lower power draw.
It also puts Starlink in direct competition with traditional satellite phones and even some cellular roaming hardware. If you're an emergency responder, a remote researcher, or just an avid hiker, a self-contained, battery-powered Starlink Mini is a total game-changer. It bridges the gap between the heavy, fixed-installation satellite internet of the past and the ultra-portable future.
I'll be very curious to see the actual battery life numbers when this officially drops. Even with efficiency gains, physics is physics. If they can get 3 to 4 hours of active transmission time on a single charge, that would be a massive technical achievement.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. We've got some more Claude code bugs and a couple of international tech policy moves.
First up, another bug in the Claude code ecosystem. The VS Code extension is currently failing to honor the auto memory directory setting in the .claude/settings.local file. Instead of saving to the specified directory, it's dumping memory to a subdirectory of the user's home folder outside the repo. This is causing severe headaches for anyone using dev containers since those external directories aren't persisted properly. Sticking with Claude code, there's a frustrating UX bug in the terminal output. Shell commands rendered in the TUI cannot be copy-pasted directly.
Yeah, long commands wrap visually, which breaks mouse selection across lines. And if a command uses backslash continuations, it pastes line by line and executes prematurely. It's a small paper cut, but a really annoying one for developer velocity.
Over in the space sector, Payload Space published an op-ed arguing that despite plummeting launch costs, commercial demand in low Earth orbit is actually lagging.
The author makes the case that building the infrastructure isn't enough. The government needs to actively stimulate demand for in-space manufacturing and research. Otherwise, we're going to have a lot of empty commercial space stations.
Speaking of commercial space stations, Axiom Space has just launched a new Japanese subsidiary and named its regional leadership team.
This is a strategic move to secure international partnerships and tap into Japan's aerospace expertise as Axiom prepares to detach its modules from the ISS and operate independently.
A. Finally, the Netherlands has officially blocked a U.S. takeover of a vital digital infrastructure supplier, citing national security concerns. It's another strong signal of Europe prioritizing tech sovereignty. They are increasingly unwilling to let critical digital assets fall under foreign control, even when the buyer is a close ally like the U.S.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of the Noracast Tech Briefing. Thanks for joining us. If you're dealing with that Opus 4.7 tool use cliff, let us know how you're working around it. We'll keep an eye on the issue tracker and report back if Anthropic pushes a fix.
We'll be back tomorrow with more news on AI, space, and everything in between. Until then, take care.